I tried to share with you on Sunday, and it just did not happen. If you were here on Sunday, I literally just tried so hard to get this out. And, you know, I uploaded the podcast, and I'm listening to the message. The last thing out of my mouth was, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and walks like a duck, that was it. And then, I don't know if you've ever walked into just something that just took over. And my God, I looked at the video and I was turning as purple as this thing right here. I was looking like Barney. I was like, Lord, I thank you for that. I don't know what it is, but I thank you. And, you know, so many people say, oh, that's the joy of the Lord. Well, amen, amen. But he's methodical in the things that he does. We're going to laugh. Amen. Laughter is good for our soul. It's like medicine. But I believe that God began to move in a different atmosphere in there, and it shifted. So what I was alluding to with the whole duck, I'm going to try to finish this, but I believe that we have to have an understanding is that when we see something for what it is, we hear it for what it is, and we can understand what it is. But why is it so many times we go and seek counsel from someone that you've seen their fruits, you heard the way they speak, and you've heard the way they interact with others? If you know that a duck is a duck, but what is it when something happens in someone's life, but you continue to go after the very thing that they're after? It's not for you. So don't seek counsel from someone if you know their fruits. I was trying to go in the direction of the windows of opportunity. It's what you choose in that opportunity to capitalize on that window. So turn with me, if you would, 2 Kings 13. And this is, I promise you, probably be the last message on this particular verse. We've been on it for a minute. 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19. And when you have it, say amen. 2 Kings 13, verses 14 through 19. I'll begin reading at verse 14. It says, when Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open the eastern window. And he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until he is entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 1. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1. When you have it, say amen. 2 Samuel 6. In verse 1, I'm going to begin reading out of the NIV. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baalah in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by that name, the name of the Lord Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it. And Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all of Israel were celebrating with their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now, King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing the ark of the Lord with shouts and sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who has chosen me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this." Don't you love that? "I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that it is the very substance in which we need to continue to grow into the very kingdom. Lord, I thank you, O God, that the very kingdom of heaven is here at hand. And I thank you that we seize every window of opportunity. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. What I want to share with you real quickly, not to take up too much of your time, I believe that what God is doing in this hour is opening windows for the people of God, but it is our responsibility to seize the opportunity. We have the ability to choose blessing or cursing within that window. Now, from a distance, Michal was watching David dance before the Lord. But in her heart, she despised him. The Bible says at the very end of that particular reading is that she went on to be barren. And she went on to be with the Lord, and she had no children, meaning she had no blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some times in your life when a window of opportunity comes, you choose at that very moment whether it's going to be a blessing or a curse unto you. Amen? So touch your neighbor and say, "It's going to be a blessing." It's going to be a blessing. There is a window that is open on your behalf, and it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing. Amen? What I want to share with you is a couple of things out of this particular scripture, and then I'm going to move on down. The ark of the Lord in verse 11 of 2 Samuel 6 remained in the house of Obed-Edom. It was in a permanent fixture for 3 months. Because it was in a permanent fixture, there was a blessing that was upon the house and the family of Obed-Edom. When you choose to have God permanently reside in you, blessings begin to come. Are you hearing me? It's a choice that you make if you allow God to be a permanent resident within you. Now, don't make me start the preaching here. I wanted to teach tonight. But how many times have you made choices when God can come near to you? Okay, so let me give you a scenario. How many of you have gotten angry or upset or disappointed or to the point, I don't need to worship so much. I don't need to pray so much. I don't need to pray so much because nothing is changing. We've been there. And if you don't want to raise your hand, it's okay. It's all right. Every individual that walks in the very auspice of the Holy Spirit has been in a place where they feel that all hope has been deferred. The Bible says that when hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. How many of you are sick in the heart? Not in the head, but in the heart. Come on now. Have you ever had something be on delay, like a pattern of delay, and you've asked God, what is this? Why is things not changing, but it seems to be resisting everything that I've done? Have you ever asked that question? If it's just me, then it's just me. I ask God quite often, why aren't things changing? It's not a season for it to change. It's a season for you to get a better understanding. You need to get an understanding of the time so you can be like the sons of Issachar, that you understand the times. To every season, we all have seasons in our life. There is a season that the window of God is opening up for you. It's your choice whether you're going to choose it. Now, if we can go back up now to verse 6 in that very scripture, they were guiding the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart. It says they were coming down from, watch this. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Now, they put it on a new cart. They were having it on the oxen. We're pulling the actual cart, and they're coming down the hill. But where does it say that the ark stumbled or the oxen stumbled? Where at? The threshing floor. How many of you have seen a threshing floor before? Have you seen it? A threshing floor is on a level, flat ground. The reason for it is so that the oxen can come in and tread upon the actual kernels, whether it be wheat, barley, whatever the case may be, that the oxen begin to tread on it to remove the very chaff. Then, as it's broken apart, what they do is remove the oxen off of the very sheet that they're walking on, and they sift it so that the wind can blow it away. It's never on a high place or a place of incline or decline. It's always on a flat surface. So when they were bringing that Ark of the Covenant into the place that David was taking it to the city of David, it says that the oxen stumbled at the threshing floor. Oxen do not stumble on flat surfaces. Why would the oxen stumble in a place that they were raised and used for? What would cause them to stumble? Anytime you get into your very flesh, doing things your way, the very presence of God is still with you, but in the transportation of what is carrying you by the way that you made your choices, will stumble. Let me put it to you this way. If you have ever made a choice to follow after God, but doing it your way, not his way, he is there with you, but the choices that you make will cause you to stumble because he is sovereign. You understand? The oxen had a firm foundation on which to walk, but they stumbled. And when they stumbled, that's when things begin to get a little sketchy. I mean, you feel like sometimes you reach out to help God. Because, God can't do it by himself. Hello, because we all try to help God along the way because we want to make sure things come out right. Because God needs our help. Right? Because we're so perfect and we know all things. That young man that reached out just to study the Ark of the Covenant. Now, wouldn't you want to try to stop something that was about to fall over that was very valuable? Well, I would think my inclination was to reach out to do the same thing, to try to stop it from falling. And God struck him dead. How would you feel if God was to strike you dead right now when you put your hand to help him? Can you imagine David? He said, I'm not taking this to my house. Oh, no, we're going to go take it to Obed-Edom's house. And we're going to leave it there. Can you imagine Obed-Edom asking, wait a minute, I didn't ask for this thing. You said someone died just reaching out to touch it, and you're bringing it into my house? How many of you would really be willing to accept that in your house after you just heard about someone's life being taken? There's some things that God is going to do that will make you think twice. But faith will say, let it reside with you. Not everything is going to make sense. Not everything is going to look the way you think it's supposed to look. But he's going to do something. He's going to give you a choice. Are you ready for the choice? Turn with me to Genesis, please. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25. And when you're there, say amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25, I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to just kind of give you a little synopsis. God has created the heavens and the earth. He begins to put the seed and put the seed form. He begins to put the animals. But watch this when he says here. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Amen. He will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I want you to take a couple of notes here where it says, it says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 16. freely eat. Now, you have a choice. You have a choice to what you eat and what you feed on. What are you feeding your spirit? What are you feeding your soul, your mind, will, and emotions? What are you feeding yourself? Because what you're feeding yourself is what it's going to produce inside of you. What you feed yourself, and by way of influence, you have a choice of what you are feeding and what you're going to get out of what you're eating. Too many times we get in a place where we feel that it's okay to listen to all different kinds of preachers out there. Hello. But what is God telling you to do? There's a window of opportunity and a window of assignment. Hear me. A window of opportunity and a window of assignment. There is a window that is open for the assignment of God in your life at that season. What you choose to eat will begin to bring forth the fruit of what you ate. What are we feeding ourselves? Are we feeding ourselves all kinds of ridiculous stories out there, 50 shades of whatever? Are we feeding on all kinds of smut that's out there? Are we feeding ourselves with the illusion of this is how we're supposed to be? In the reality, the size 6 you've never been, but the 15 and the 18 you really are. But are we feeding ourselves a fallacy of what we see out in this world and this society that we must be like that? Is your perception becoming your reality that is unrealistic? What are you feeding yourself? I was at the grocery store with my wife, and we went through, you know, you try to go through those quick lines or the express lines. You got more than 15. I started counting real quick. Man, I got 5 more than them. Dang it, I got to go to that long old line over there. And so she's going down the aisles all the way to the other side of the store. And then I can see her hand from a distance. Come over here. So then I take the cart over there. I'm only five items over the 15 limit. And we're trying to be good. So we're trying to be good Christians, you know. It's a 15 limit. I'm not going to go in that line. So I get over there, and as I'm walking down, I'm passing all of these magazine racks. And all of these magazine racks have all these skinny men, skinny women. And they know it's nothing but a lie. I'm looking at that. I said, Lord, I bind the devil, for he a liar. I get to the hour. Inez says, here, this is, come right here. So I come in there, and the first thing she does, she points to that. She says, there I am. I'm on the cover. I said, amen. That is you. Just like you. Image and all, my goodness, just looks just like you. How many of us put something before us, and what we feed ourselves says, this is what we want to become. This is how we want to look. Now, I would like to go back to what I was saying earlier. We begin to feed ourselves something that we believe we can be, but the reality of our choices, you know, the Whataburger, the double Whataburger with extra fries and the milkshake that happens at 10 o'clock after church on Thursdays, is not going to help you get to that area of your life that you want to see success. Or if you happen to go to Mama Margie's after services on Thursday night and you eat so many baskets of chips and hot sauce and nachos and all, yes, I could see how that's going to help you get to that destination. So I've already chose. I made a choice. I looked at that magazine. Bless the Lord. That ain't me. They look like they're starving themselves. The Lord said, out of the garden you may eat of all the trees, but one. So I look at it in a sense that I have the freedom to choose what I want to eat.
And if I choose to have my bean and cheese, my choice. The Bible says that Jesus said, and I've come so that you would have life and have it more abundantly. I am not going to starve myself on the way to heaven. No, not me. No. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the Lord is in everything, for he put the very herb yielding fruit into the ground. So which the beans come up, I know that he's also made it the calf. And then I could get the milk for the dairy, the bean, the cheese, the flour, tortilla. I know that the Lord is saying what you chose this night
was your opportunity. I said, Lord, forget the bean and cheese. I want some nachos. I'm making a little bit of things trivial here. But when we ordered the nachos, I said, I want fajita nachos. For the Bible says that I can have it. He says, I want you to bring all your sacrifices unto me. And I want you to bring the calves. And I want you to sacrifice the bulls, the oxen, the sheep, the goat, and place it on the altar. What he says to the Levitical priesthood is that nobody can touch that but the Levites. The fat, the meat is for you. So I take that literally. He said that you can have the fajitas on my nachos. Going somewhere with this nachos. I know you're looking at, ooh, fajita nachos. Okay. Going somewhere. Now the choices that I make based on the opportunity, I needed to use some wisdom. Because not every choice that you make is led of the Holy Ghost. A lot of it's led of your ghost. It has a name. It's called gluttony. Hunger. I want. I want. I got to have. I want. But we make choices. They're not always the healthy choices. I said, Lord, I don't want to look like that man on that cover. He got a six-pack. I got a, well, I ain't saying nothing. He said, enlarge your tent. Strengthen and lengthen those cords. So I did. We have a choice. Look to your neighbor and say, you have a choice. It's a window of opportunity. But what you choose when that window's open also has results to your choices. So that night I get home, I said, ooh, I'm sleeping real good tonight. Lie. Heartburn. Too full. I said, Lord, this isn't of you. He says, I never told you to eat all that. That late. My choice. Now, I'm using food as an analogy for you. How many choices have we made with the window of opportunity that has come your way and it didn't turn out favorably? Right? What we do with how we feed ourselves, I'm not even talking the natural food. I'm talking about the spiritual food. The spiritual food, what you choose to eat. What if someone's to come and tell you, and I'm going to role play here for a minute. I'll use Sister Katrina as an illustration. If someone was to come to Sister Katrina and tell Sister Katrina, Sister Katrina, I see that you're about to go through some hardships in your life, and I see that you've been struggling in your job, and I don't think that God is going to bless it. She, at that very moment, has a choice to make whether to receive the junk that is coming her way or to not receive it and begin to reverse what was spoken and begin to declare that it is a blessed job that I have. It is what God has ordained for me to be, is to be blessed, highly favored, and to excel in all things. It's what your choices are that you allow in. Amen? Have you ever been around someone that is so negative? Don't look to the left or to the right. Look to the cross, please.
Have you ever been around someone that is so negative that every time you want to rejoice, someone wants to bring you down? See, David was dancing half naked, only with the linen ephod, and he is dancing in the streets, a window, and she's looking upon him and she despises him in his heart. But what he's doing, he says, I'm praising the Lord. I'm doing as the Lord has instructed me. You didn't choose me. Your father didn't choose me. No man chose me, but God chose me. Hold up now. Who chose? God. God has chosen each and every one of you for a specific thing to do in the very kingdom of God. Do not listen to a lie that comes in. What you choose to feed yourself, that's what will come forth. Amen. We have a choice. What you choose to eat or what you feed on, you shall see the results of it. Number two, what you choose to call it, it will be. God brings the animals to who? Adam, to see what he would call him. Did he ever correct him? Not once. Can you imagine? Let's just see. What's the hippopotamus coming to him? Can you imagine the sight of the hippopotamus coming directly to Adam, and he's looking at that thing? That thing's about to eat me. But what he called it, it was. Right? God gives you that choice. Whatever you call things in your life, it will be. Whatever you call things in your life, it will be. If you want to call it a curse, it will be a curse. If you want to call it a blessing, it will be a blessing. If you want to call it stress, it will be stress. If you want to call it an illness and a sickness, it will be such. But if you want to call it healing and being made whole, then that's what it shall be. You understand? God brings an opportunity to you. The window is open to see what you will do with it. What are you going to do with it? What comes right before you that God sent? And he sits there and watches Adam. Like he's looking over there at Joshua. Joshua got that suave look right now. He's kicked back. He's like, I'm watching Josh right now. Whatever he says it is, it is. That's my boy. That's the one that I have opened up the window of heaven for. And I have sent everything his way that whatever he calls it, it is. Whatever comes his way and he names it, it is. So whatever's coming your way, you have got to change the title of it and tell it what it needs to be. If you've got a mountain, he says, then you tell that mountain it's got to go. But you've got to name it to what it is. Oh, Lord, help me to ignite the fire in here, please, Lord. Help me. Let me find something in here to ignite the fire in him. You have got to call it what it is. Woo! You know, you got some issues at times in your life, and you just kind of look at it, whatever, God, just whatever. It is what it is. You're right, it is what it is. But what you call it, it will be. Are you hearing me? That hope, that's it is what it is, can't change it. You know, you just cursed it. How about calling it something else? And what it needs to be, faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not yet seen. So what you call it, it shall be. If the mere fact that it's in your life, if God didn't send it, he'll use it. Oh, I know that this, God's not going to send me this man over here that's going to treat me this way and treat me that way. God ain't going to send me. You made the choice. You did. Just saying. You made the choice. Over and over, you got the Holy Spirit telling you that ain't the one, but you didn't want to listen. Now what you going to do when what's been feeding that individual begins to manifest? And you see the fruit of that tree and the roots of where it came from and have a better understanding. They got to say, what are you going to call it?
What are you going to do now with it? What are you about to do? Are you going to continually accept it in your life? And it's going to create havoc in your life. What are you going to do? Well, God is not about a divorce. Well, God is not about fornication either. Oh, is this? We in a church, right? Okay, I'm just making sure it's all right to speak true. The pastor says, if it feels good, do it. That's not what God said. That's what the devil says. The Bible says that sin feels good for a moment, but it does lead to death. Oh, I hear crickets. Just preaching myself. Okay, I've made some choices in my life, and not just about food either. But I choose to call it, and it shall be what I call it, a learning experience. Amen. You want to learn things about God? Welcome to the school of hard knocks. You get your degree in the Holy Ghost because you begin to see some things that you would have never seen. You begin to experience some things you didn't think you were going to experience. Things just show up along the path. How'd that get there? Call it. Name it. And it shall be. Amen. Mm-hmm. Number three. How you choose to see it, it will be. How you choose to see it, it will be. Watch this. When he says that in verse 22, and the rib which the Lord has taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, watch this. And Adam said, verse 23, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She should be called, whoa, man. Taken out of man. It's how you see it. It's how you see it. If you're looking, oh, Lord, look, there's a cross right here. Stare at the cross. Don't look to your left or to your right. And if you're here and your spouse isn't here, well, it's all right. It's all right. Let me just tell you something. It's how you see it, it will be. If you see your wife or your husband a little sideways, then they'll be sideways. But if you see them in the glory of God, the way God has made them to be, then it shall be. But you may be looking at a current state that God has seen a future state in which they shall be. You have got to see it in the latter state. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to struck a chord here, Lord. Struck a chord. Yeah, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm just going through some stuff. It's going to continue to be stuff if that's what you call it. I've been going through the school to learn some things about me and God. And whatever he's placed in front of me, whatever I call it, it's going to be. But how I see it will make it to be an opportunity when this window is open. But if I don't choose to see it, I'll miss the opportunity. How you see it, so shall it be. So when my wife looked at that model on the magazine and she says, look, babe, that's me. I said, that's how I see you. Am I lying? I'm telling the truth. Ooh, they're going to help somebody in here. And I ain't going to look at nobody. I'm just trying to tell you, I know what my baby's like. I see her for the way that God has allowed me to see her. When I married her and I found her, the Bible says when you find your wife, you find a good thing. And when I saw her then, she is my good thing, will be my good thing now, today, and forever. She is exactly how I imagine her to be. The woman that will not placate with the things of God and will not settle for anything less than the best. And I see her the way she said, that is me. And I said, that's the only way I've ever seen you. Hear me.
However she sees herself is how I see her. Unless it's something negative, I don't see it that way. Because I don't allow it to be negative. I allow it to be the way I see it, above and beyond the thing that she could ever imagine her to be. From the very beginning, the inception of this relationship, I knew that God had a call on her life. I knew that God was going to use her greater than anything that I can ever imagine, that she could ever imagine. But God began to show me that he was going to begin to pour in her the things that was going to take her a series, oh my God, a series of hardships coming her way to have a determination to lock herself in into the very presence of God. That says, I'm not settling for what has come my way. I'm not going to accept what has come my way, because I see what God has said in his word and I place it upon my circumstance. And that's the woman that I have married. The woman that I have married can just stand tall in every midst of every opportunity and begin to declare what she doesn't see now, but what she sees in the future. Ooh-wee. Lord, I'm getting me some brownie points. Yeah. Woo! I'm just trying to help somebody here. If they have a tendency to say, I've gained so much weight, there's only more for me to love. There's only more for me to hold on to. There's more for me to come on and say, God, I found my woman. I found a good thing. It don't matter how she sees herself. I see her as a woman of virtue, a woman of insight, a woman of influence, and a woman of faith. How you see it, it shall be. The Bible says, the Bible, when you find, you don't go look, they come find you. Trying to help you women in here, and you youngsters too, youngsters in here, don't go looking, they come find you. Don't let them tell you, you were lost until I came. No, you weren't. They were lost till they found you. Truth be told, men are always lost until they go and find a woman. Hello, somebody. Don't get mad at me, man. You can be going around the same mountain a few times and say, oh, that's a new mountain. Mama over there looking at you. Son, we've been around this thing about 4 or 5 times already. You want to get the GPS going, or do you know where you're going? No, I know exactly where I'm at. I'm lost. I don't need no map. I have a good sense of direction. Yeah, when you're lost, you're lost. My son went to his dad. You know where you're at? Yep, I'm in the car. You know where you're going? Yep, where? Down this road. No, what's the destination? That I do not know. But on the way there, I will discover it. You know that when God, oh, Lord, the Bible said this about Adam. It says, when woman from part of him came, was his help meet. Help meet. I'm going to help some of you women in here. When your man doesn't want to follow after God's will, don't let scripture bind you to say you must submit to your man and be submitted unto him as he submits unto God. What you're helping your husband to do is pursue his vision that God has given him for the vision of the kingdom of God. If he is not pursuing that vision, you must obtain the vision, hold the vision, pray the vision, and pray him through. Oh, some of y'all have been wounded through some churches that told you, you got to submit, you got to submit, you got to submit, you got to submit, you got to submit. Shut it. Shut that door. I had a friend of mine tell me, shut the front door. You ain't coming up in here and telling me I must submit to the man that is beating me, lying to me, cheating on me, and telling me things that is not encouraging me, uplifting me, and taking me to where I need to be. I don't need to submit to that. What I need to get to doing is start praying to God, Lord, show him who I really am. Oh, I was trying to help you there, but Lord. Number 3 was how you choose it, how you choose to see it, it will be. Number 4, who you choose to follow, you shall be. who you choose to follow, you shall be. This is where I was going about the duck. If it walk like a duck, quack like a duck, it's a duck. If you follow after a duck, it's going to lead you to its domain. It's going to lead you to the very place of its limitation. But if you follow after someone that you've chosen by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they will take you further than your limitations. If you stay around someone that is limited only within the parameters that they have been taught, you will stay stuck in that very realm. Get to the place that will take you to a place bigger than you. Ooh-wee. Y'all don't want to hear this. How many of you have bought yourself a dress or a suit or something that needed to be tailored? And it fits you perfect after it's been tailored. Until you make some choices. Okay, I don't want to talk about y'all because y'all looking at me. Oh, here we go again, Pastor. Here we go. Here we go. I made some choices. I had a suit tailored for me. Woo-wee. My honey looked at me one day. She goes, ooh, Pastor, that's a nice suit. Yeah. Now she looking at me. That suit still hanging up in the closet? You think it's about time you get rid of that thing? Because you ain't going back to that suit in a long. Come on now. You see, there's some things that are tailor-made for you because it's based upon a pattern in which fits you at that time. But if you don't stretch and reach for a different pattern that is bigger than you, you will always be limited to the pattern that you once were in. You have got to choose a pattern that is bigger than you to allow yourself to grow. Mm-hmm. Well, I like to be in a teaching ministry because I get to learn the word. I get to do the exegesis and actually go through and understand the hermeneutics of the word. And what good is that doing your relationship? What good is that really doing in your everyday life? Well, I divide the word truth. I divide it and divide it and divide it. Well, how many more times are you going to divide it but never apply it? What if God wants to take you out of a teaching ministry because that window of What if that window of assignment is over? And he wants to take you to a different place so that you can grow in a different area. What would happen if you decided to stay in the place that God was trying to get you out of, but you decided to stay? You will not grow. I had a pair of favorite shoes one day. They were my favorite. It was the ones that used to make me run faster, jump higher. You know the ones. Your favorites. And I used to wear them so much that they stretched. So when I went to go get me a new pair of shoes, they said, what size are you? I'm a size 9. You're a size 9? Those shoes may say a 9, but they're not a 9. I've been wearing these for 3 years. I know. My mom's laughing back there because she knows. So we go to Foot Locker. I said, will you take your shoe off? For some of y'all, I was like, oh, Lord. Took my shoe and I put that thing right on that thing, and it says size 11. Now, you know you got your money's worth if you can make those things last for 2 years and it stresses. You know the Lord is good, because the Bible says when they were in the wilderness, that not even their sandals were worn out. You see, there's a season and an opportunity where God will sustain you through, but eventually you got to come out of the old patterns and step into something new. I like it up here. I like it. Big table. I like it. Lord, take me to the place that you have designed for me. Get me out of my comfort and put me into a new pattern so that I'm not staying stuck. Allow me to grow. Allow me to grow. Let me seize this window of opportunity and this window of assignment. Let it be completed so that I can go to the next place. And what you have in store for me. What you have in store for them. Because every window has an opening and a closing. Don't miss the window of your opportunity. Seize the moment and accomplish the task. Believe that what God is saying is that there's some things that you've gotten very comfortable in, that it has grown only to a point of stretching. Once you're removed out of that, you'll begin to grow into a new pattern, into a new fulfillment of what he has for you. I believe what God is saying in this very hour, every window that he is opening, we have a choice. Will we walk through it or will we miss it? I don't want to miss it. Choose how you or who you choose to follow, you shall be as. Who you choose to follow. There was a young man, I won't say his name, but there was a young man that came to live with me and my mom, my dad. Older guy. He was in need of a place to stay, and we brought him. Mom knew right away that there was something wrong. There was something she discerned. You know how moms do, they discern. I don't know about him. Mom, you always do that. And she tells me, you always bring stray animals home. She looks at her laughing and laughing. Oh, I didn't know if I was supposed to come tonight, but I came tonight, and I look, now he's talking about everything that we went through together. Oh, Lord. But I learned something. My mom was able to discern some things that I wouldn't see. I hadn't grown into that understanding yet, but the more and more I started seeing the things that she was saying that was going to happen, it happened. It happened. And if I would have chose and continue to choose to follow after that young man, I would have wound up just like him. Who you're influenced by is who you're going to become. Who is your greatest influence? You begin to develop those traits just like that influence. Who you're next to, who you're associated with, will tell me who you are. Crickets came back. Who you're associated with, who you hang with, and who you give your time to would tell me who you are. I have some people that tell me, Pastor, I don't get with nobody. I don't like people. I don't get with anybody. That's why you're alone. You understand? Who you choose to follow, you shall be. Number five. What you choose to do in the opening, it will be. What opening? If you know that God has opened a door for you, and if you choose not to go through it,
you're going to stay in that place of disobedience. But if the opening comes and you follow it with not seeing what's ahead of you, you become the sons and daughters of faith, obedience. David made a choice when he created the new cart. He made a choice not to follow after the pattern that God gave him. But when the cart came into Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom made a choice as well with an open window. He accepted. And after he accepted, the Bible says that his household and his family were blessed in 3 months. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. God is bringing the very presence of his covenant to you. It's your choice to allow it to reside there with you so that you can see the blessings of God in your life. Not just for you, but for your family. The hardships that have come your way is to keep you from making the right choice. What if you trust God and you believe with all your faith that God said this, then it's going to be. When the Lord speaks or prophesies to you a word that's proceeded out of his mouth, it shall not return void. It shall accomplish what it was set out to do, and it's going to happen. He just didn't say when. Don't put your hand to the cart and try to steady the move of God. Don't try to do something new outside of the prescribed way. You've got to begin to see the things the way God wants you to see them and not the way you want to see them. You may see that this is something that you believe can be, but you have to begin to call it into being. You have to trust by the Spirit of the living God that he's given you the words that will create in that atmosphere for the individual that has his own will, or she has her own will to do what she wants to or he wants to. All you can do is ask God to invade their space. Trust and see that every window of opportunity, you have a choice. You have a choice. Will you capitalize on the choice, or you miss your opportunity? There's some things that need to be dealt with. In this season, in this window, capitalize on everything that God is saying for you to do. If he's telling you to be still, be still. If he's telling you to move forward, move forward. If he's telling you to begin to get up in the middle of the night and begin to pray, then that's what you do. But if he's telling you to rest and lie down and go through a season of rest, then that's what you're to do. There's nothing wrong with resting and waiting on the Lord. When you're waiting and resting, you're waiting with anticipation and expectantly seeing him come through. Trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, how he wants to do it. You just have to trust him. And when you trust him as he does it, watch this, he will manifest his glory in your life. He will manifest it. How many of you believe that he will manifest it for you? Amen. You can't manipulate the move of God. You cannot manipulate the things that God is doing. And you can't put God in a box. You can't tell God that this thing is something that you need to do this way. Because God is saying, forget the former things. In Isaiah 43, forget the former things. I'm doing a new thing. A new thing. Let go of your past. Let go of the hurts and the disappointments. It is your choice to hold it and to keep it, because it'll cripple you along the path. You've got to let it go. The more you let the things of your past go, the more you can begin to reach for your future. You can begin to reach for your destiny, and you begin to reach for the things that God has for you. Make some choices in this hour. What you desire to do, is it to please God or to please your flesh? In the very inception of this particular reading, we were reading in 2 Kings 13, this is Elisha's final prophecy that he was given to King Jehoash. He says, open the eastern window, a specific window of a new day, a specific window that is facing the intent of the enemy, and you must let the intent be known. You must let your enemy know that you are not standing for less than God's best. You're not standing for what the enemy is telling you that you're going to become, because you are already who God says that you are. You can't allow the words of the enemy to penetrate into your mind, into your psyche, and into your soul to say that you're not going to succeed. For you are already successful in the very things of God, because he says, before I knew you and formed you, I knew you and give you everything that you need for your destiny, for your journey. I've given you everything. Love it, be prepared. Be ready, because he's given you what you need. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would as we pray.